Hello and welcome. Now, the idea behind this podcast is that we're going to be exploring in the possibilities of what it's going to be like for life post-furloughed, I suspect is the best way of putting it, and post-coronavirus, really, how we plan to ease our ways back into our respective workplaces. I'm Phil Dave. I am a broadcaster who works in mental health and well-being, amongst many other walks of life. I'm also joined by Graham Godfrey and James Rose. Graham, why not you start off by telling us a little bit about what you do?
Graham here from Passion About Business. I'm a life and business coach. I suppose that's how most people would describe me. Although I suppose I'm more about the thinking and the mindset of individuals. So I wear many different hats, and in the main, I like to coach people who own their own businesses, so CEOs and the music, entertainment and TV industry.
Now, obviously, given that these are times of coronaviruses and social distancing, we are maintaining that. So I should say in advance that if you do hear any compromise in the quality of sound on this podcast, that is why, because it's only so far you can go working from your respective homes to actually sound like you are in a radio environment. James, why not take this moment to tell us a bit about you?
Yeah, hi. Thank you, Phil. So I'm James Rose. I run a business performance improvement consultancy called CX People. And CX is about communicating effectively. We focus very much on the people side of business and how you can get the most from the people that you work with and who work for you, and what that means for your customers and other stakeholders within your business, so that every transaction you undertake becomes one of value. And of course, as we're talking about today, it means making sure that your staff feel motivated, feel confident, feel safe and reassured, both now while they're working from home and also once they come back into your office space, if in fact they do, and making sure that they're cared for and looked after and they can give you the best of themselves.
So right now, we are obviously in the absolute thick of everything with coronavirus. We are all currently in lockdown in the UK of sorts. Now, granted, the lockdown is not quite as strict as it has been in other countries, but it ultimately does mean that as many of us as possible are being encouraged to work from home. Now, the three of us are all doing that. And post-life seems quite a long way away, doesn't it? You know, we are obviously really, I suppose, towards the middle, some might say, of the coronavirus outbreak. And so therefore, the chance of going back to work could be another few weeks. But yet already, people have already started to express how they are feeling emotionally and mentally when it comes to the pressures and the unsettling nature of having to work in a home environment and not be allowed to carry on with the day-to-day lives that we take so much for granted in order to just live a normal life. And I suppose, Graham, the first question has got to be, is that how on earth do we see us sort of coming out of this? Because it certainly won't be as rapidly as we went in.
It's a difficult one. Obviously, we're now, tomorrow I think is the 1st of May, so we're moving into another week of lockdown. I'm speaking to a lot of owners of companies and businesses who are very, very nervous at the moment and who feel that this is sort of the honeymoon period, but they're thinking about getting back to work because they've got businesses and they realize that they need to start building their businesses again. The problem that we're finding is that they're talking about productivity and they're talking about getting back to this new norm. But what's being overlooked, I feel, is the feelings of the staff. The people that are working in the business to help the business grow. The other day, I was walking down the street and people are coming towards me and I'm thinking to myself, well, hang on, do I move away or do they move away? So what's going to happen when these employees go to work? Are they going to go on the bus? Are they going to feel happy about that? They're going to go on the tube? Are they going to go by car? And when they get to work, what's it going to be like? Are they going to sit 2 meters away from the person next to them? You know, when they go to make a cup of tea in the kitchen, there's so many issues and so many concerns about employees and who has been ill and who should be at work and who shouldn't, that it's not just about getting back and getting back to work.
Yeah, I'm total agreement. And I like the examples you gave there. You're absolutely right. Because, I mean, I've heard on the news them talking about school children going back to school and how that might work and whether, you know, for example, there's opportunities to use shopping centres as school overflows, for example, to find that space for pupils to sit further from each other. But often you can't do that. If you're a business owner, you have maybe 100 staff, let's say, a relatively confined space, but you want them to come back into the office environment. How do you create the space for them? Likewise, from my perspective with what we do, it's thinking, how can managers support those staff? So yes, from an environmental and a physical perspective, but again, emotionally, Graham, you mentioned, do you know if the people around you have had the virus, have not had it? Are they carrying without knowing? Am I likely to therefore bring something back from work into my household that could affect my children? Well, you know, you might be able to put infrared cameras up at the front of your offices, let's say, that measure your temperature to see whether you're carrying any of the virus. But that's only a partial method for assessing these things. So there's a lot of worry. And then as managers, it's what's your role in reassuring people to make sure that, you know, both now, as we look forward to that point, what are you doing to put people's minds at rest so that they can look forward to a safe reunion with their colleagues? Or what are you doing right now to make plans so that people who are working from home and have proven they can do that are supported to work at home over the more long term and feel confident and comfortable, and they still have that sense of community and belonging that they enjoyed socially when they were at the office, perhaps, which they're feeling they haven't got right now and are expecting to go back to, but maybe that's not going to happen. So awful lot of questions that remain unanswered. And absolutely, these are the sorts of things that senior managers and business owners need to be thinking about and acting on right now for that transition, whatever that transition is, for that to happen in a productive and smooth way later.
But isn't half of the problem, though, that we don't actually know what those measures are going to be until we're told by the relevant authorities that this is how it's going to work in a work environment? How can one possibly put any measures in place without knowing for certain what those restrictions are going to be?
Well, that's an excellent point. There's a management guru called Stephen Covey. He wrote the book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, which, by the way, I'd recommend everyone reads. It's excellent. And he talks about something called the circle of influence and the circle of concern. And at its most simple level, what that says is focus on the things that you can influence and try not to worry about the things that are of concern, but you can't influence. So you're right, Phil, we don't know what the future looks like, but we can probably make some educated guesses and plan for two or three different potential outcomes. Again, rather than waiting for what those might be and then acting, and therefore everyone in your business retains that sense of uncertainty, it's the planning that happens now that shows people that you're working hard on their behalf, that brings that sense of reassurance and means that when the world does get back to a degree of normality, whatever that normality is for your business, that you're ready to embrace that and, as Graham was saying, create that efficiency straight away and that profitability, hopefully.
That's exactly what we were thinking, what we were talking about. Some of the business owners that I've been coaching over this period they've actually been getting together as a group to discuss their different businesses and what they could do to help. And some of the ideas that came out were obviously having hand sanitizers available. Some of the business owners were looking to get commercial cleaners to come into the office to give the office a complete clean so they could advise their staff that they are thinking and looking after their welfare. And I think that some of the issues that have come up in the conversations I've had are sort of quite simple ones. You know, what about the people that come to the office who have arrived for a meeting and just have a simple meeting in a meeting room? Well, that may not be possible anymore. I think the way that we've worked in the past, which has been completely normal and natural, now we look at people and in our own thoughts, we are thinking, you know, am I going to catch something from you? This is a completely new mindset. This is something that it feels weird inside, but it's true.
But isn't this going to be half the problem, though, is because that if you now do go back into a work environment, you might actually be so distracted, not you, one might be so distracted from the job they actually have to do, worrying about whether or not they've touched anything that a colleague has touched about. I don't think that we've necessarily thought of the ramifications that this is going to have on people's mental ability to actually deal with whatever job they were doing. Because always at the back of their mind, certainly for the foreseeable future anyway, is going to be, ooh, have I come into contact, as you already say, with someone who's had it or got it? Am I going to get it? Am I going to get sick? Am I going to impact on my family? All of these things are going to be rushing through the mind to such a degree that whatever work ethic one was might have been lucky enough to have beforehand will probably go right out the window.
I mean, can you imagine, Phil? I mean, that's a great point. Can you imagine going to work and hoping that the PPE supplies have been maintained? And, you know, you could be working as an administrator in an office and you sit there and you put on some plastic gloves, you put a mask on, and you're sitting there thinking, this is ridiculous. I'm at work and I don't really want to be here. Now, some of the businesses that I've spoken to have said, yeah, the staff can work at home. Actually, it's working quite well. But some of the key members of staff need to be in the business. They need to be on the premises. Those people are helping to drive the business forward. And to sit there and feel like that, it must just be so distressing.
Working with staff members, I think, is really important. I was doing a little bit of research on this, and the Office for National Statistics have said that currently around 49.2% of people are working from home, which is a lower number than I thought it would be. But it does mean one out of every two staff members that, you know, or people that work are obviously working at home. And then that means, as you say, dealing with that mentality and that emotional content to the working day, which is something that people haven't had to acknowledge, let alone work on before, is a massive shift in how we lead teams. You know, if you look at typical models of staff leadership, it's all about, you know, do you tell them what to do in an autocratic way? Do you delegate responsibility for coming up with work and then achieving that? Do you set task-based objectives that need to be SMART objectives? You know, these are all very task-based, very, very tangible and practical methods for looking after teams and team members. But as you both have pointed out, this whole new emotional content to someone's working day and working life is something that's started with concepts like emotional intelligence, but not necessarily been acted on in any huge way. And for leaders of tomorrow, by which I mean literally tomorrow, but also well into the future, having that ability to understand people's emotional state and then importantly adapt their own behavior and approach to manage those people's emotional states is going to be key to the successful business moving forward. And there's some simple steps around that. So listening becomes one of the more important skills that a leader or techniques that a leader needs to have. Empathy, and I've always said this, but even more so now, is possibly one of the most important skills that a leader can have. Understanding how someone is feeling based on what you see and what you hear, then acknowledging those that emotional state in a way that comforts the other person or the other people, and then importantly, acting on what you've seen and heard in a way that is suitable for that other person or party to such a degree that that other person or party feels like you care and that you value them, and they feel empowered then to take action on their own about their welfare, for example, supported by the business. Those things are going to be massive for business leaders and owners moving to the future.
It's a very, very difficult situation, and I totally understand what you're saying. See, the role of the business leader compared to the employees is very different. The business leader may have borrowings of which they are finding difficult to pay back. We know that when businesses are run, they're sort of working maybe 3 to 4 months behind. So perhaps the business they did 3 to 4 months ago, the income is coming in from that now. And therefore, where we've had a period of 3 or 4 months where nothing's been happening, they know that around July, August time, it's going to be extremely difficult because they've got salaries to pay. They may have personal guarantees. They may have worked in a company for 20 or 30 years, and it could be that this is coming to an end. So as well as feeling for their employees, they're also concerned. I think a lot of them feel that they're responsible for their employees. They're responsible for the livelihoods of their employees. So they've got a big weight on their shoulders. And it's very, very difficult. You've got to be a certain type of person to run a company, to run a business. And I think the weight of responsibility is very difficult. And this is why I think if business owners and employees who've got very similar problems can come together and support each other for the good of the business and for the good of each other and help the employees integrate back into society and back into the business in a way that I think you're right, James, that shows empathy, I think they've got a chance.
You know, I was thinking as well that the other problem that you've got is that people are going to have to suddenly now, especially people in managerial positions, are going to have to start learning ultimately new skills. So in other words, they may have to almost totally change in some respects their job description. If they're used to managing people in person, now suddenly they find themselves having to manage people remotely. That can come with a whole host of new skills that they have to ultimately learn and get their heads around in order to mean that their jobs are not only viable but actually functioning.
Yeah, that's true. And again, a little bit of a statistic for you. Apparently, 95% of managers have never managed a remote team. They've managed people who work remotely, maybe one or two days a week, but never a permanent remote working team. So you're right, Phil, massive amounts of change in how they approach what they do. And talking of change, you know, that change curve, which you guys may well know about, it starts off with people feeling very angry and frustrated and perhaps a bit despairing of what's going on. And I think a lot of businesses are in that situation now. Some will be moving through it quicker than others based on the support they're getting from senior managers and perhaps even based on their financial security right now, coming back to what Graham was saying. But we want to get those businesses through that change curve and out the other side, where the whole organization and all its people start to accept the future as it will be, as it is and as it will be. And what are those skill sets that those managers and business leaders need to be able to adapt to that and bring people through that change curve and lead from the front? That is the big challenge.
And also, let's not forget as well that someone has to ultimately support those in the managerial position as well, because it's not just going to impact on the mental health and well-being of the workers on the proverbial ground. Those who are at the top of the tree as well are also going to feel the pinch from this, just because they are frankly human. We all are feeling the pinch. But yet, if you don't necessarily have anyone above you to turn to, that can make it doubly hard in order to be able to cope with this quite dramatic change, and also trying to battle your own demons surrounding this.
It's a very good point. I think that we're in the unknown. No one really knows what's going on. I mean, there's so many conspiracy theories out there, but nobody really understands what's going on. But we as human beings can adapt. You know, if you think about it, in the last 6 weeks, there has been such huge change, and we are adapting. We're learning. We're learning to look for the good. You know, we as a nation, we've come together. It sort of feels like wartime from the past, when my parents used to talk about the war. And this is very much the nation coming together. You know, we have the frontline workers that are taking huge risks, looking after people and looking after lives and their own lives. It's a new world. I think people need to understand people, and we need to connect at a greater level. I think the digital age and social media and Zoom and all of these things that we use, and FaceTime, all the stuff that we're using now for this podcast to connect, are all amazing tools. I just feel that we need to take a step back. We need to think about what it is that we really want, and we need to make some very tough decisions. And I think we've got a bit of time now to do that. I know I haven't stopped working since this started.
No, I have to confess I haven't either, so I'm not quite sure sort of what I'm doing wrong. Everyone else is telling me their work's drying up, and I seem to be busier than ever, so I'm obviously not quite getting the grip of this coronavirus thing.
Part of the reason, Graham, particularly you're busy, is because it's the point that Phil just made, which is when you're at the top of the business, who do you turn to that's above you that can support you? And it's people perhaps like you, particularly Graham, because you work at that level, where you provide that not just emotional support, but just the ability for people to turn to somebody outside the business, but who has experience of businesses like yours, who can just challenge you a little bit and shape your thinking and your feelings and give you that little bit of confidence that comes from having someone challenge what you're doing to ensure that you're making the right decisions and the right choices, and then feeling good about moving forward with that strong, consistent plan in place. And I think if there's one thing people can do, it's, you know, it's have someone they can lean on a little bit who has that experience and can offer that way forward for people.
That's true. That's very kind of you to say. It's, look, I've always loved helping people, as all three of us have on this. This is why part of the reason that the three of us have come together. It's, I mean, Phil knows this more than anyone. We need to talk. and we need to talk more, and we need to come together, and instead of holding it in, we need to get it out. Better out than in, as they say. And I think if we can do that, we'll find new solutions. We'll create new ideas. You know, this podcast was born just from that conversation. If we can encourage people to talk more, I think we're well on the way.
Well, I can't help but think that if we talk any more, then we might go over our allowed time. So that might be a perfect way in which to finish it, and to say that obviously to anyone who is listening to this and who thinks that they are somewhat overwhelmed with anything they are going through, no matter how trivial it may seem, please don't keep it to yourself. Do talk about it, because Graham is absolutely right. The more we talk, the better it is. It is true. It might be cliche, but it is so spot on. A problem shared really is a problem halved.
Absolutely, Phil. And if anybody would like to contact me, you can email me, gg@passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk, or my website, passionateaboutbusiness.co.uk, and hopefully I can answer any questions that you might have.
A very valid point. And James, if anyone wants to get in touch with you.
Yeah, thank you. So email is james@cxpeople.co.uk. And of course, the website is cxpeople.co.uk. Happy to have a chat in any way you think I can help.
And if for whatever bizarre reason you'd want to contact me, you find me on social media at Mr. Phil Dave with one L, if you don't mind. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Hopefully we'll do this in person before long. Thank you very much for listening.